12 Ounce Sports. Quench your sports thirst. Articles, live shows, and podcasts. Visit 12OZSportsRadio.com. 12 Ounce Sports is your home for the best live talk shows, sports broadcasts, podcasts, and sports articles. You know you can catch 12 Ounce Sports live on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, but now you can also watch live on Zingo TV. That's right, Zingo TV has added 12 Ounce Sports to their long list of channels. And now if you're on your smart TV, just download the app and flip to channel 761 to catch all the live 12 Ounce Sports programming plus replays. All you gotta do is download Zingo TV and use the promo code 12OZ when signing up. It's that simple. Be sure to check out our latest blogs and podcasts as well at 12OZSportsRadio.com. It's 12 Ounce Sports now live on Zingo TV, channel 761. It's episode 168 of the Cincinnati and Dayton Sports Podcast, and our special guest is Ben O'Byrne, the public address announcer for the Dayton Dragons. We're talking minor league baseball, announcing sports, and more on the local Sunday Sports Podcast on episode 168. Welcome to the Cincinnati and Dayton Sports Podcast with Lee W. Mowen. This is a weekly podcast covering all sports in Cincinnati and Dayton, Ohio. From Lima to the Ohio River and northern Kentucky, from eastern Indiana to Madison County and all points in between, this is your source of local Cincinnati and Dayton, Ohio sports. Visit the LeeWMowen.com/podcasts to find your favorite podcasting platform. Music created with the Splash app. Time for another episode with your host, Lee W. Mowen. And currently on the phone, it's Ben O'Byrne. Ben, how are you doing today?
Hey, Lee, doing well. A nice warm Saturday in Ohio. Thanks for asking.
It'd be nice if we had some baseball to go along with that weather, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. It's been an interesting summer, that's for sure.
Interesting. That's an interesting way to put it. But let's begin. Ben, thanks for taking some time out of your day for this interview. And first off, where are you from?
I live here in Dayton, Ohio, in Fairborn, actually. So just a little bit north of downtown Dayton, and I've been here for about 8 years, and enjoy the area and enjoy our neighbors and just really good folks that live local to us. Hanging out today and taking it easy.
Now, were you always a Dayton native, or did you move to Dayton?
Sure. I grew up in a small town near Troy, Ohio, Pleasant Hill. I went to high school at Newton Local School, which is a small little rural school, about 43 people in my graduating class. And then I ended up in Ashland, Ohio, with the whole goal of studying radio television. And I went to Ashland University, which is about an hour south of Cleveland. And then did some different things from that perspective, and ended up here about 8 years ago after I married my wife, Megan. And our family, we're from here. Her family's from this area right across the street from us. So, a lot of local ties to this spot in Fairborn.
When did you decide that you wanted to get into announcing?
Oh, boy. I can remember, Lee, this is always in my blood. I can remember as a kid being on Stump's backyard and announcing. A big thing back then was WWF wrestling. So, announcing Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant and, all of those people, I remember doing that. I can also remember, in high school doing, a lot of the local sports at our high school, as well as our own high school's public address. So I was doing girls basketball. I was doing junior high. I was doing a bunch of those things, even as I was a junior and senior in high school. So it's always something that's been in my blood, always something that I've enjoyed. And, you know, it's just one of those things that it's how I get my fill, not being in radio anymore. I kind of get my excitement like you normally would in a radio situation. So just a great opportunity, and I truly enjoy it. So just something I've done for a long, long time, and continue to do it for quite a while in the future, my hope is.
It's pretty impressive. You got your start in PA announcing all the way back in high school. That's very impressive.
Sure. Yeah, well, a good time, that is for sure.
Now, can you remember the steps that led you to become the PA announcer during that time? Like, were you asked by a coach or a teacher, or did you ask to do it, or how'd that happen?
Well, as I was in high school, I was known as the mayor, so I was pretty active in the school. You know, people knew who I was. You know, again, a small rural school, about 43 people in my graduating class, so it wasn't hard to get to know people, obviously. But, you know, I think if I remember correctly, it was, you know, being asked to do those sort of things and probably being very willing to do that as well, as that was something that I truly enjoyed and felt that, you know, through my life, there would be opportunities to be able to be involved in some different things from announcing perspectives, whether that meant being in radio or whether that meant hopefully doing public address or that was my big thing. I loved public address. I loved being among the people and just kind of, the instant gratification from hearing, you know, applause and all of those type of things when you announce something. So, I was always one that was active in it and was asked multiple times to do multiple things in that arena. So it was pretty stiff whenever somebody did come to me and ask me to participate that way.
That's very cool. Now, you mentioned you went to Ashland after graduating from Newton. What mm-hmm. was your first job in the field?
Oh, boy. My first job, I did some Ohio High School Athletic Association basketball tournaments when I was still actively involved in college. In college, I was a student assistant with the basketball team. Did a lot of announcing. I think I remember correctly, I had done some volleyball and some different things of that effect when I was in Ashland. But, after graduation, it was in radio. I got pretty active in radio, pretty quick with some local stations, some north here, and then some in the Kingfield market. So it was pretty active. You know, I've done different things in between, too. I stepped away from radio for a little while and did other things in between that. But, you know, never lost the love for being behind the microphone and being an active participant in some of the things that go on with sporting events locally. So, just tried to stay as active as possible, and was pretty fortunate to be able to get to where I am today and be able to participate with the Dragons.
Now, speaking of the Dragons, let's fast forward mm-hmm. a little bit. How did that happen?
That was interesting. I auditioned for the Columbus Blue Jackets. They were coming to town at about the very same time. And so I had interviewed at Columbus and was not hired. I knew nothing about hockey. As a matter of fact, before I did the interview, I bought the book Hockey of Dummies in an effort to try to figure out that sport because I just didn't know it. But I was fortunate enough to win a live interview and a live audition and do that in Columbus. Didn't get it. So I thought, you know, I'm going to send. Dragons were a couple of years in my first year with them. Full year was in the 2002. And they were pretty, pretty new to arena. So I thought, I'm going to go ahead and send that to the Dragons and just happens. I was fortunate. Harry Sharkins, who was the director of entertainment at the time, gave me a call and they had I pestered her a little bit too. I probably didn't just let her call because, you know, the early bird gets the worm. So, you know, I probably made some additional phone calls, sent some different emails in an effort to try to, you know, name something. And actually, you know, I was hired not necessarily for public address. I was hired and got some stats and different things like that. They had a couple of really, really good PA people in the very beginning, which were Sam Collins and Jeff Stevens, both with strong connections to the Dayton area. And So they were there, and then, you know, I just did some other things. I did whatever I needed to do to get into the stadium, and so I was active in keeping stats, and every once in a while, that I need some fill in for something, and I would fill in. And then as Jeff and Sandy kind of, you know, stepped away a little bit more, I was fortunate enough to be able to slide in and just kind of take over from that perspective. And, you know, I've been active with the organization since 2002. So this season would have been my 19th season with that. But I've obviously, you know, with everything that's happened and the shutdown of everything, and that didn't happen, but I'm looking forward to next year being my 19th year and many people following.
You mentioned Jeff Stevens. He's the PA voice of the Dayton Flyers men's basketball team. I think he's done that since 2000 or so, something like that.
Yeah, he a really good guy, and I learned a lot from both him and Andy. And, you know, we did some back and forth, you know, during those early years. Sandy would do some games, I would do some games, and Jeff would do some games. We rotated in as they moved out a little bit. Again, as I said a little bit ago, I was pretty fortunate to be able to move forward and be able to land the role full time. So just a great organization to be involved in.
So 18 years of Dragons baseball, you must have seen some great players, great games along the way. Are there any games or players or even moments you fondly remember announcing?
You know, I think there's been a lot of big games, so many of them that sometimes, obviously, loss and different things of that effect. I mean, some of the reasons I remember games are because of people that get to announce. So people like Edwin Encarnacion and Joey Votto and, you know, Jay Bruce and those type of individuals, that's what I remember the games is because of the opportunity to be able to announce those individuals. I think if I have to step back at some of the outstanding moments, I think in 15, when we broke the all-time sell streak, I was able to be down on the field and able to introduce, you know, Magic Johnson, Archie Griffin, the Dragons teams, and tell the whole stadium that we had just broken a record that had been held by the Portland Trailblazers and a small single in Dayton, Ohio. So, you know, that to me was an awesome experience to get to be able to do that down on the field. The greatest things, I think, too, that we do, you know, at the stadium is, you know, we have the opportunity to bring deployed service members back to the stadium and, you know, make a connection with their families sometimes for the first time at that stadium. So being able to be an active participant and announce those people, you know, and all that they've sacrificed to be away, you know, and then they come back and greet those families on our field. To me, those are the moments that give you goosebumps in my role, and to the moment that I probably have enjoyed the most.
The military segments that I feel like, as the years gone by, they become more common, which is really nice considering that Dayton is a military city with Wright-Patt nearby. Mm-hmm. So I definitely enjoyed that as well. And also former manager Luis, what's his name? Bolivar? Luis Bolivar?
Luis Bolivar, yeah.
Him becoming a United States citizen, I thought that was really cool. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was very touching about the Dayton Strong event. That was a long doubleheader, but that event, I think it was in the second game, that was very nice as well. So,
yeah, and those type of events, you know, the Dayton Strong was it was so unbelievably well done. It was just organized so well, and it, you know, it's a moment that none of us wanted to have to do, obviously, because it meant there had to be tragedy before that, but a way to be able to bring people together and offer healing in that environment was just an outstanding moment. So I agree with that. That was a pretty, pretty special day. It was a long day, but we were willing to do the long day in honor of those people that unfortunately had lost their lives and some different things to that effect. So, I'm right there with you, Lee. I think that was another one of those great moments at the stadium.
I think something that most fans might not realize is, you know, your team matters to the community, and the Dayton Dragons definitely matter to the people here in Montgomery County.
Yeah, most definitely. It is, which is evident by, you know, selling every game we've ever played. You know, I mean, that is an accomplishment that I don't know if that will ever be matched, you know, our opportunity to be able to, you know, have every seat in that stadium filled and do that, you know, consistently says a lot about, number one, the fans, because without them, it doesn't happen. But it also says a lot of the organization and the leadership and the people that come in daily to be able to provide the customer service needs to be provided at that stadium. So just an outstanding role model for other organizations, in not just in minor leagues and not just in baseball, but, you know, throughout all sports and throughout all levels. So it's just an honor to get to work for them, and an honor to get to do what we get to do every day.
Absolutely. And what makes the Dayton Dragons different than most teams out there?
I think, honestly, I think everybody has a level of commitment to customer service. But I think what happens with the Dragons is their interaction with their fans and the opportunity from a customer service perspective. I mean, I can tell you that, you know, I've walked the stadium and found situations where even somebody that most people don't know who I am as I'm running throughout the stadium, you know, the opportunity with my badge on to stop if somebody needs help and help them and not feel that there'd be any repercussions to any of the assistance that I will give, because customer service is of the utmost importance to that organization. To me, that is what sets the whole thing, you know, apart from everybody else. It's just an unbelievable commitment to making sure that we are taking care of those people that pay money to be able to come watch that team and be able to be in those seats every single game. And, you know, I think that that's where it comes from me. And that's what I think makes it different than a lot of organizations. And, you know, being involved in, you know, other things outside of baseball that have a lot to do with customer service, you know, I see and utilize some of those practices even in my daily working with the teams that help lead, you know, outside of baseball in my full-time job. So, you know, it's something that's carried, you know, me through the 18 years that I've been involved, and I'm sure we'll continue to do that long after I'm gone from the baseball team. So I think it's that commitment to customer service and just outstanding people that do the games and outstanding people that are participants in employment with the team.
You mentioned customer service. It's definitely a value that's, you know, honored and carried on well by everyone. In fact, it doesn't matter which position you work at. You know, you are told customers matter, which it's kind of like, you know, your business is out there about taking care of the customers. So,
yeah, if we don't take care of them, they don't come back. The experience, you know, I mean, it's a baseball game, but, you know, I think that from the family, from the family-friendly atmosphere to the costing of tickets, to the costing of the quality, to all of the customer service, and just all of those things add into those experiences, including those people that people never see that help make sure that all that goes smooth on a game day. So, you know, it's an area sometimes in our society that's lost is the customer service piece, but it's definitely not lost. You know, in the Dragons organization and in that daily game experience.
And there's a lot of people that help carry that motto throughout, too. It's amazing to see how many people, you know, work for the organization. It's quite exciting seeing a lot of people working.
It really is. And it's interesting when visiting radio guys come in, because, you know, I always have the opportunity to talk to visiting radio, because I'll go down and make sure I have pronunciations correct and all of that. And they're always in amazement of our organization from the standpoint of the number of people that are, you know, participating in game day productions and just the customer service and the food offerings and just all kinds of different things. So it's interesting to listen to other individuals that are participants, other stadiums and other teams. Because, again, as I said earlier, you know, we are definitely the example, and there's a lot of organizations that pool a lot of the ideas from the Dragons, and it's how they, you know, execute on their group and teams as well.
We talked a lot about customer service, but something that also makes the Dragons stand out, there's something for everyone. It's family oriented and
there's not just the baseball. There's also the skits in the middle of innings.
And
I mean, most teams might have a couple here or there, but there's something always planned for each break. What's your thoughts on the Dragons doing that?
Yeah, I think it's great, you know, because if you think about it, somebody that may not be a baseball fan, they're still going to have an outstanding experience at the stadium. They're going to have an outstanding experience, the things that go on in those innings, all the things you can do on the Congress level, you know, your ability to be able to connect to other fans. It's just, I think it's one of the reasons that they've been so unbelievably successful is that opportunity to draw people in. Norfolk wouldn't be a big baseball fan, but because of all the other things that we do, there's that opportunity for them to be an active participant in what's going on with every game. So, it's the top-notch entertainment. It's done very, very well. It's very, very well planned. A lot of people don't realize all the planning. Katrina, the director of entertainment, and Caitlin, the senior director of entertainment, all of the work that they do to get those and all of that information ready to go to all of us so we can plan and execute, you know, with the green team and making sure the rehearsals and all of that goes into it. It's they want to make sure that it's done well and it's the best in the industry. So I'm very much a fan of that. I enjoy the ones that I get to be participating in. And I'm sure that coming up next season there'll be some new things that we never expected, and we're looking forward to seeing what that's all about.
You mentioned that folks that are catching a baseball game, they have an opportunity to interact with these skits as well, and that's something that also caters to maybe not the baseball diehards, but, you know, for people that want a, you know, nice time out, a family outing, if you will.
Yeah.
What's some of your favorite skits?
Who am I doing this? That's a great question.
There are a ton, I know.
If I remember the correct term, it's the bubble ball battle where the guys come out and the big blow up plastic ball and have to kind of run into each other to be able to catch the flag and get to some different areas to maybe get points and then they get a win. I think those are pretty cool. I also think that, you know, some of the things that we do with kids, the toddler race and, you know, all of those type where there's kids can get there. Those are obviously very popular with the fans. And, you know, I like those as well. Seeing those kids, it's a lot of fun when you see the kids at that age and then they come back and they say, I was in the toddler race, I was at this age. And now they're, you know, a little bit older and a fun to see those type of things. So, we do a lot of skits. I love the, when we have superstars and, you know, those type of people, the see white tumblers, you know, all of those side acts come in as well that, just help change and just provide it. I'm a fan as well. So the enjoyment that I have out of watching those things too, just sitting up at the booth. You know, things that we talk about and things that we truly enjoy. So those are just a few of mine.
I always like the Sunday events where Jimmy Keys is there because, you know, they provide an organ.
Yeah, Jimmy Keys is, you know anything about Jimmy Keys, one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet and extremely talented. I just call him world famous, and he turns kind of gives me a look in because, you know, I just consider him to be just an outstanding guy with some extreme talent, does a really nice job kind of going back to the old days of, you know, how it was with his organs, which is, you know, an interesting story about that is, you know, my great-grandfather, great-uncle, actually, wasn't great-grandfather, great-uncle was an organist for the Philadelphia Phillies in Clearwater, Florida. And so he would sit, you know, on the area where they had his organ set up, and he would play, all kinds of different songs, different things to that effect for the games in Clearwater for the folks spring training and different things that would be happening at the stadium. One day, decided on a bad call, and this is the first time I think that this is known to have happened, but bad call, he played three blind mice. He pointed up some. I threw him out of the game, made him cover his organ for the rest of the game. This was probably in the early 80s. But for Jimmy Case, I'm only trying to get him to do that. For some reason, he went off and see if we can get a little bit of history in Dayton as well with Jimmy. But I don't envision that happening. Good guy, great talent, and we appreciate what things to those stadiums on Sunday. That's for sure.
Absolutely, it's something nice. I mean, like you mentioned, not every place has organs, and you know.
Yeah.
With that being a thing on Sundays, it's a nice touch, and I think it adds a really nice feel to a baseball game.
Sure.
Now,
I agree.
Now, along with the skits, there's also videos that go along with it. What's some of your favorite videos that are played during an average game day?
You know, I really, this past year, because we're celebrating the 20th year, some really good videos of just things that have happened in the past. Mm-hmm. I really think it's cool how we're able to take a team that's only 45 to 50 minutes down the road in Cincinnati and tie them into what we do on a daily basis at the Dragons. You know, being able to show their stories of those individuals that have been in our system and been in the stadium, and they show their appreciation. You know, I think that to me is probably the coolest thing, is being able to, and knowing that, you know, I've been a person that's been able to be involved in that with announcing a lot of those individuals, sometimes in their first year stop in the minor league. So I think that to me is pretty cool when we get to do those sort of things. You know, I think too, some of the cool videos, you know, some of those ties to skits in between innings is being able to kind of the way that we involve the fans. And sometimes it's very funny, it's lighthearted, you know, when we kind of go back in time and we look at, you know, people, what they quote unquote look like when they were, you know, a little younger, and then we put them up on the board and, you know, we tie them into what it looks like. Sometimes silly and sometimes it's funny, and some good reactions. And, you know, those are always good moments in a stadium, as it just is, again, an opportunity to draw people into the experience. And that's what we try to do with every single game.
Now, outside of game days with the Dayton Dragons, what else do you do?
I'm fortunate enough to be the regional director of marketing for a healthcare company. So I work very closely with individuals that are needing placement in what we call CCRCs, so communities like healthcare facilities. You know, I'm very active in that. And so my full-time job is working with our teams. I have 7 communities that I oversee throughout Kentucky and Ohio, and fortunate enough to work from my home. I have a home office, do a little bit of traveling to some of these communities every so often, but I'm very blessed to be in the situation that I'm in outside of baseball. So that's what I do for a full-time job.
I remember a while back you mentioned that you did some voiceover work. I think you did some with Miami University. What voiceover stuff do you get to do?
Yeah, that's one of the areas that I don't do as much as I would like to do. I do have the ability, studio at my home, able to do those kind of things. I've done a lot of things for two things happen. I really like to be exclusive for the Dragons. So if there is stuff that they need to have done, I try to do that. And I do go through them to make sure that anything that I do is approved and is something that they would be proud of, you know, to be involved in. Because, you know, I'm still, though, not working, you know, for them right now because of everything that's happened with baseball being shut down. I'm still an ambassador for the sport and still an ambassador for them. So, you know, I do some things for the United States Air Force. I've done quite a bit of voiceover work for them for the Air Force Museum. And then I've done some radio commercials. We've done some sporadic things that people just out of the blue say, hey, we need this. I've also volunteered and done a lot of kind of recorded introductions for local, like PB football teams and different things to that effect. And not to pat myself on the back, but boys think it's pretty cool when they can have the announcer for the Dragons do those sort of introductions for them. So, you know, I always enjoy those kind of things. Would love to do more of that. It's just, you know, it's not something that it's a priority of me to get totally involved in and take up a lot of the time, but I do try to accommodate requests for people.
Is there any part of you that wants to get back in the radio side of business?
You know, I've said to my wife several times, wouldn't it be cool to be able to get back and do that? And, you know, even if it's a weekend, I love being on the, I used to love doing remotes, you know, going out to a car dealership or going out to a new restaurant opening or things to that effect. There's always, that's what I thought I would be doing is being a disc jockey and radio. There's always that kind of thought that someday that would happen, but not something I'm pursuing at the moment. I really do get my fill announcing, you know, 70 games a summer at the Dragons. Like, I fill with doing that kind of in that whole radio. So really, in the off season, it's an opportunity for me to kind of recharge. So I don't do any basketball. I don't want anything to that effect. But I would never do that. Just haven't had any real strong opportunities in this area to do more of that. But, you know, there may come a day that I decide, you know, try to get back in it whenever I might be able. But we'll just see. We'll see what happens.
You used to do a lot of stuff with UD as well. I think volleyball.
I did. Yeah, I did some volleyball and miscellaneous with UD every once in a while. It was always, you know, pretty cool as well. You know, just involved. Great sports institutions, the Dragons and the University of Dayton. So being able to be involved in both of those things, you know, was pretty interesting. And to me is just a pretty cool thing to get to do. You know, Lee, I really am an unbelievably fortunate individual to be able to be involved in what I get to do in baseball and outside of baseball. So, you know, I'm just very thankful for the opportunity.
You briefly mentioned it, but how has the coronavirus affected your season?
Oh, well, obviously we're not doing baseball. So yeah, it's been disappointing. I'm staying in touch with, you know, some of the people from the Dragons. And you know, that's one of the things that happens when this happens is, you know, when thing like the pandemic that's going on right now and things canceled, you miss the camaraderie, you miss the connection, you miss getting to next to those people that 70 nights a summer, you get to talk about your families and you get to talk about, you know, what's going on the field. You get to talk about the organization and do all of those things. And anybody that knows me, know that that's a important piece of the puzzle for me. I love the connection with people. I walk through the stadium before games. Again, most people don't know who I am. Just, you know, from visual standpoint, typically, you know, can tell from a voice standpoint, but, you know, I like to look in the stadium. I like to see people. I like to say hello to pictures, those kind of things, just as a connection. And I really miss that. You know, I really miss that opportunity to do that. And, you know, we're going to come back from this. We'll come back stronger from this. It teaches us a lot of things about what we can do differently. We never thought we were possibly capable of things. So it has taught us a lot. In my full-time job as well as, you know, I'm sure in baseball, it's taught us, you know, how do we do things differently than we've ever done them before. So, you know, it's a tough time, but, you know, through safety and all of that, hopefully this will all be eradicated and we can get back to life as normal very, very soon.
Do you see sports returning anytime soon?
It all depends, you know. I think, you know, we're seeing that, you know, there are certain things. Obviously, baseball is going to be playing a six-game schedule, you know, not fans and those things. So it's a little different from that perspective. You know, I think everything just really depends on what happens from the virus perspective. You know, if we start to see those numbers really dissipate, you know, I could see where things start to come back strong. And then it's not just affecting baseball, you know, it's affecting football, the big teams going to their own conference schedule, and, you know, just different things like that. So it's affecting every single person in some way. This is something that affected everybody, whether it's just going to the grocery store and wearing a mask, that's different from most people, or, you know, for that period that things were shut down, not being able to go to your favorite restaurant. It has affected everybody. It's a matter of everybody kind of realizing that, being able to accept it and come together and realize that the only way to accomplish, getting through it is to do that all together. So, envision that sports will come back. We don't know what level that's going to look like or how it's going to be involved with fans or all of that. But I'm sure that there are plans and work in the works to get all those things kind of up and running.
You briefly talked about this as well, but do you see minor league baseball coming back next season?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it's an important training ground for the players that need to get to the major leagues. You know, obviously there's going to be teams that aren't going to be around in it, or, you know, that minor league are, you know, kind of doing a little bit of reshuffling with organizations. I envision that, yes, minor league baseball will come back and it'll come back strong and fans will come back. And, you know, again, as we've talked quite a bit about, it's an experience that fans love. Being very close to the game, you know, being close to those people that you never know, you know, where they're going to end up, and we kind of attach ourselves to those people and follow them through their career. So you're in the same vision that minor league baseball will come back, and I envision that it'll come back strong and the fans will be back in the stands.
You touched up on this for this next question. How do you picture next year's minor league baseball season looking with all the cuts planned by Major League Baseball? Like, I think all but one of the Iowa Midwest League teams are going to be cut, Clinton, Burlington, and I think Quad Cities was even in that mix. What's your take on those cuts affecting minor league baseball?
Well, obviously, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we provide great fan experiences. It's also a business. So, and looking at what that looked like and providing players and, you know, all of that to the teams, Major League Baseball had to make some decisions. I think that it's obviously disappointing. It's disappointing for those communities that attach themselves to these teams and have bought gear and bought, you know, stickers and, you know, all of those sort of things to not have those individuals in those teams around anymore. It's obviously disappointing to people who work for those organizations as well. You know, there's a lot that goes into the daily activity of running one of those teams. So the disappointment of them not being around anymore has got to be really, really something that weighs heavy on the hearts of those people that were active in the organization. So it's disappointing from that standpoint. But I also think that, you know, Major League Baseball, you know, again, from a business perspective, has to make decisions that they believe are in their best interest, and that's what they did. It'll be disappointing not seeing some of those teams and some of the people that were involved in those teams come to our stadiums, but we wish them well as they do find other things to do. We wish those stadiums well, and hopefully they can find some other ways to utilize those and become still, continue to grow within their markets in some way.
I will say the Reds were up there in terms of losing minor league teams, but luckily Dayton is nowhere on that list, and that's a great thing.
Sure, sure. Dayton is so well run, the sellout streak, and, you know, the ability to generate great players from that organization, and, you know, I think that probably has a lot to do with it. So it is good to see that Dayton was on that list, and I know, you know, everybody in the organization is breathing a sigh of relief from that standpoint. We feel extremely bad for those teams that are not going to be around and those people that were involved.
Let's swing over to more positive talk. What would you like to see added to game experiences at Day Air Ballpark?
I don't know. We do so many things so well. You know, I'm a foodie, so mine's probably around the food end of things. You know, before I go up to the booth, I always try to go down and grab a good hot dog or some Dippin' Dots or, you know, one of those great burgers they have in the outfield. So probably more of the game experience. It's those type of things for me, because that's how I get geared up for the game. But, you know, everything there is just executed so well. And you know, they're always planning and, you know, they're always kind of looking at what fans are asking for and what fans need. And, I just think that the organization as a whole does such a great job accommodating those sort of requests and coming up with some great ideas. So I'm just looking forward to what they decide to do in 2021 as we open back up.
Is it weird to not say fifth, third field anymore?
It is. As a matter of fact, the funny story about that is, you know, I typically, for games, I typically fill out a calendar. And all the games on a Google calendar or something like that, just so I get reminders of game nights and all of that, so I forget. But this year, it was interesting. I usually just do it as a download and automatically adds to my calendar. But this year, instead of doing that, I printed the calendar off and typed individually all 70 games into the calendar and specifically put a location area, an air ballpark, so I can forget. So I've been grooming myself to not make the mistake because I'm sure that that would not sit well. calling it what it's not anymore. So I've definitely been working on that. And I know that we appreciate your commitment to the stadium and to the Dragons, and looking forward to finally getting to announce their stadium next year.
I mean, it's crazy to think that Fifth Third was always the sponsor of the stadium since, you know, opening in 2000, and now in 2021, it's going to be a local bank with ties to the Air Force Base and Dayton, Ohio itself, which that's really cool to think about.
Yeah, it is. It's a good transition. You know, I think they did a nice job with finding a sponsor that was true to the Dayton roots and was really excited about being involved. And I know that they're always looking at their ROI, which is return on investment. I think that they're always an opportunity to have people in the stadium to be able to see that name and hear that name and being able to view in programs. And I'm sure it'll be a good driver of business for Day Air. So we're extremely excited to be, you know, obviously in partnership, and I'm extremely excited to be, you know, somebody that gets to get that name out there through the spoken word.
And you mentioned you have a calendar that helps keep events on track for you. I have one of those paper planners. Yeah, those are lifesavers, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. I put mine all in the computer and kind of go from there and kind of do that. So, you know, it was interesting when I was getting to when I was getting ready to delete games for, you know, once we found out that the season was canceled, I went in and started to leave, and the date, the left, apparently, I must have been a little bit of a slacker, because when I was trying to put in the games, I apparently missed finishing up the season. So, which was interesting, because the last game that I had in the calendar was the date they canceled the season. So it was kind of weird that I had gone up that day, obviously not knowing that any of this is going to happen with the pandemic, and then kind of from there. But yeah, I use that calendar. That's how I keep myself straight.
Ben, what are some of your favorite things about local sports in Dayton?
You know, I think if you look at, you know, local sports, and even at some of the, I think what's really cool is some of the people that have come from Dayton, Ohio. Not just in sports, but in general, and you look at even things outside of sports, and you look at, you know, I think of acting. I think one of my favorite shows of all time was West Wing. And in that show, you have Martin Sheen, Dayton, Ohio, Allison Janney. You know, you have a lot of people from this area that, you know, go on unbelievable things. You know, when you look at from a sporting perspective, you look at some of the high schools we've got, you know, you've got great, great traditions at Alter, and you've got great traditions at Seville, and, you know, and people that have come from those institutions have done a lot of really, really good things beyond this area, you know, professionally and collegially. So, you know, I just think it's a great breeding ground for individuals that want to do more after high school. You know, great coaches, great organizations. We've got UD. You've got a lot of other organizations that they can get involved in from the college perspective. So, you know, I think that is what impresses me the most, is the ability to have as individuals do more outside of you and people that have come from Dayton, Ohio. And, you know, I'm happy to, you know, obviously be just a small part of, you know, the sports scene and the market in regards to the Dragon.
Also, I think nearby, what is that drive? Patterson, I think it's Patterson. It's named Mike Schmidt. It's named Mike Schmidt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mike Schmidt.
Yeah.
You've got Roger Clemens was, from this area. He was at a game, several years ago. There was, a lot of great people came from this area, including Mike Schmidt.
Yep. Absolutely. Now, what would you like to see added in the future of sports and media in Dayton, Ohio?
Oh, I'd love to see hockey come back. I'm not a huge hockey person, but I just think it'd be cool to have kind of a rounded scene of sports, and hockey would be awesome to have back in Dayton. I think that would be a welcome addition to this market. To have, whatever kind of team it might be, but I think that would be pretty cool to have hockey and to make a reappearance in the Dayton market.
I always wondered if the downtown hockey arena happened, what type of hockey we would have today in Dayton.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question, but that would be cool to see, wouldn't it? It'd be cool to have this market, but we'll see what happens. I don't know that it ever will. They've been tried and it struggled a little bit, and I think kind of down from that standpoint, but you never know what happened and who would get behind it.
Now, for those that want to become an announcer such as yourself, what advice can you share?
Here's what I would say. I would say from that point is, take any gig you get, no matter how trivial or how small it might seem. The only way to get better from an announcing point is to do it. Now, it's a matter of if somebody asks you to go do the league baseball team, go do it. Or if they ask you to do it, the league football game, go do it. I think that's where you kind of have the opportunity to go. You kind of learn. You kind of hone your craft. Don't be afraid. Do those sort of assignments because you think that they're above you. Nothing in them. That's where I started. Doing, high school basketball when I was still in high school. So, I think that you start there and you just continuously own, and I think it's important to put yourself in positions where you're around people that are a lot smarter than you are, know how to do the job, and listen and pay attention and really dive in and be a sponge for how people listen and find somebody that maybe you can emulate, and to go from there. My favorite public address announcer of all time, Bob Shepard. For those that don't know Bob Shepard was for the Yankees. So when you heard Derek Jeter get announced, it was always Bob Shepard. Smooth and calm and just old school. I love listening to Bob Shepard announce. Still sometimes go back and listen to his announcement of Derek Jeter when Derek Jeter, would come to bat. Even after Bob Shepard was no longer with Yankees, he still had recorded the introduction of Jeter and would still use that in stadiums until the time that Jeter retired. So, that's just pretty cool stuff. And find those people that you can surround yourself with and learn the craft. And again, never say no, because they're just always opportunities right there to be able to get better. And I think that's what I would say.
And last up to close out episode 168, how can people follow you on social media?
Well, I'm not a huge social media fan. I'm obviously on Facebook and, that's about the extent of my social media platform. They're more than welcome. It's pretty easy to find me. So they can definitely follow me on there if they would like to. I try to stay away from doing too much in regards to putting, a lot of personal type things in regards to relationships with teams and different things out of that, because I like those things to come through the team. But, I will offer this. If anybody has any questions or has somebody that's interested in any sort of announcement or anything to that effect, would love, you know, the opportunity to talk to those individuals, they're more than welcome to reach out.
Ben, thank you so much for your time today, and that will close out episode 168.
And happy to be here, Lee, and we'll look forward to seeing you again in 2021.
I'm looking forward to baseball again at Day Air Ballpark, and look forward to seeing you then, Ben. That will wrap up. Take care. This has been episode 168 of the Cincinnati Dayton Sports Podcast. Talk to you soon for episode 169. For listening to another episode of the Cincinnati and Dayton Sports Podcast with Lee W. Mowen. To subscribe to this podcast, please visit theleewmowen.com, spelled theleewmowen.com, then click on podcast. From there, you can find your favorite way to catch new episodes of this podcast, such as on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, the iHeartRadio app, Pandora, and many more platforms. Follow along on social media by liking the Facebook page, the Cincinnati and Dayton Sports Podcast, and follow along on Twitter at CindayPod and the Lee W. Mowen. Feel free to send in future questions for Mowen's Mailbag on Twitter or Facebook. The closing theme was created with the Splash app, available for free on Google Play and the App Store. This is Lee W. Mowen signing off. Let's talk local Cincinnati and Dayton sports again on the next episode.